Well, I want you to open the Bible a couple of places tonight, and we want to do it. We're going to study. I guess, you know, most of my preaching, I like to think that it's kind of study-type preaching. And somebody said, well, Brother Wells, there's a difference between teaching and preaching. Well, I honestly don't know why you can't mix them together. I don't know why you can't teach and preach the same thing. Amen. And so anyway, we're going to be doing a little bit of that tonight. And the two places we'll read is Leviticus. And you ever have a hard time pronouncing that word? I did. And, you know, we'd call it everything, but, you know, the right thing. But anyway, it's Leviticus. And we're going to read in chapter 1 tonight. Then I want you to turn to the book of James, chapter number 4. James chapter 4. And we'll be reading there. James 4, Leviticus 1, and James 4. And what I think I want to say a word to you, and I know we got a lot of young folks here. I say a lot, got a good number of young people here. Several that would be classified middle age, and then got some of us, you know, who are, we get a discount at coffee at Hardee's. Amen. So anyway, I want to say this to you. Here I am at my age and my stage in life. And here's what I'm really, I pray about this. Now, you may think it's foolish, but I pray about it. I'm asking God to help me to be willing to accept my lot in the days ahead. You say, what does it mean? Well, I am used to going. I'm used to being active and going and traveling. So what if I have a stroke, and suddenly I am in a position where I can no longer do what I used to do? Do you have any idea how depressing that can be? I mean, that can be extremely depressing. And I'm asking God to prepare me and get me ready for whatever event he may have. And you may not pray like this. You may not even think like this. But I mean, I do. When, if the Lord decides to take me before the rapture, I want to be ready. I mean, I don't want to just be saved. I want to be ready if he should ask me to come home before, you know, well, if he asked me to come home in the rapture. Anyway, whatever, I just want to be ready to meet him. And I think surely that you do too if you're saved by God's grace. And some of y'all are too young to even think that way. But if you live long enough and the Lord don't come, you'll eventually get around to thinking that way. And so, just, you know, life don't continue on. I mean, it is a fact, life comes to an end unless Jesus Christ comes in the rapture. This body we're living in is going to die and turn to dust. And I want to be ready to accept that. Are y'all hearing me? I want to be ready to accept that without murmuring and grumbling and growling and groaning with the Lord. Amen. I do. So that took all the joke in atmosphere out here tonight, didn't it? Amen. All right, I'm going to read from Leviticus 1, and I want you to stay with us and pay close attention to it as we read through it. And the Lord's began to speak me out of Leviticus, those first five chapters, and I'm studying on them, but I've got this one where the Lord lets me preach you some. Now, notice carefully verse number 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. And if your offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces, and the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's sons shall sprinkle his blood round about the altar, and he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of the turtle doves, of the young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar, and he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part, by the place of the ashes, and he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now put your Bible marker or something there, and a track or something, and then let's go to James and read there, and then we'll have prayer, and then we'll give you what the Lord's given for us to give you tonight. We're in the book of James, and we're in chapter 4, James chapter number 4, and look in verse number 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now that is strong language. Verses 5. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, let me pray with you, and then we'll show you how I want to deal with this scripture. Lord, I'm coming to your throne again today. And Father, I am thanking you for your scripture. I want to thank you, Lord, you've showed us in your Bible, Lord, how to be saved, and that you love us, you care for us, and you've showed us, God, how to live and how to trust you after we get saved. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you've given me this lot tonight to try to be an encouragement and try to be a strength to your children. I want to pray that, Lord, you'd bless Pastor, help him and his family. I want to pray, Father, for Open Door Baptist Church, that the divine hand of God would start doing a wonderful, strange work even, the Lord would just stun those on that onlook. We're asking you, Lord, to help us tonight now. We need your presence. We need your touch. We need your power. And I'm going to ask you now, Lord, to give me inspiration and give me, Lord, the unction that I need. But I'm going to ask you now, Lord, that you'd do a sweet miracle tonight and that you'd open up the hearts and minds of those that sit here and listen so that, Lord, we can be on the same page and, God, what you've communicated to me, that I can communicate to them. Now, Lord, you do good in this meeting now. Touch our heart and life. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, now then, how are we going to deal with this? Well, you don't have to guess what James 4 is dealing with. If you look, if you're still in James 4, and really you need to be for a minute, look in verse number 8, if you will. Look in verse number 8. And in James 4, he's really telling us this principle of drawing nigh to God. And he gives instruction how to do that in James 4, drawing nigh to God. Now, if you look back, with just keep that in mind, and look back to Leviticus, if you would, chapter 1. Now, we're going to see verses 3. Look in Leviticus 1 and look at verse number 3. Now, I want to tell you to start with now that in Leviticus 1, the sin question has already been dealt with. That's dealt with in Leviticus 16, where the scapegoat is offered and the blood is applied and the scapegoat is turned loose. So the issue of sin is taken care of, really, in Leviticus 16. But look in verse number 3 of this chapter. Now, God has given these people instruction here about a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering. But notice verse number 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male, and thus and so. Then he said, he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now you listen, I'll make a statement, won't you hear me? You read chapter 1 through all you want to 100 times, here's what you'll not find. You'll not find God demanding them to make this offering in chapter 1. This offering is not a demand. This offering is not a command. Look at verse number 3. He said, if any man does this, he is to do it voluntarily. All right? So what is this to be? Well, I'm going to tell you, and I think you maybe can see it during the course of the mission tonight. What you have here in Leviticus 1 is an Old Testament illustration of somebody who wants to draw near to God. They're not being compelled here to do this. They're coming out of a voluntary will. They want to draw near to God and get closer to Him. So now then, with that in mind, let's go back to James a minute, and we'll show you a couple of things and move on. So let me give you this idea to start with. So this word nigh, when it talks about drawing nigh to God, what does it really mean? Well, it means to approach. In other words, if God is here on His throne, and I'm over here, and if I'm drawing nigh, what I'm doing is I'm making an effort to approach God. You understand that? I'm making an effort to come near to the Lord, to approach Him, to be near to Him, and to come to Him. And so the idea here is getting close to God. Now, are y'all with me now? Just for a few minutes. I won't be but an hour and a half, okay? So stay with me a minute now. So let me ask you three questions before we start. Three questions, and most everybody here has made profession, but let me ask you three questions. Number one, are you as near to God as you ought to be? Now, I'm not giving no answers out, but are we as near to God as we ought to be? Well, I probably think that if we give a true, honest answer, well, all of us would say, I don't think so. I don't think I'm near as Him as I ought to be. Well, now my next question is this: are you as near to God as you want to be? Now, I might suggest an answer here. So are you as near to God as you want to be? Do you know what the real answer to that is? We don't like it, but we got to say, yep, I'm as close to God as I really want to be. You know why? Because if I was not as close to God as I want to be, I would be making some effort to get closer to Him than I am. Amen. But now here's a question. There's no answer for it, but you'll have to answer it. Am I as near God as I intend to be? Now, I'm going to tell you what I'm finding. Everywhere I go and preach in this hour we're living in, I'm finding churches and Christians that they never have said this out loud. They've never put this on a placard or on the billboard. But in their heart they've said, I am as close to God as I intend to be. I have no intention of ever making any effort to get closer to God than what I am. Now, I'm trusting and praying that there's nobody here in this congregation tonight, or even listening by the web, that either is in that state, that they're as close to God as they want to be and intend to be. Now, with that in mind, I want you to look back at James for just a minute. Y'all stay with me a moment. Let me show you a couple of things in James. Now, see, God is not, now when you get saved by God's grace, the Bible makes it clear that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up the last day. Now, as a sinner, I cannot come to God. Y'all know that. And a sinner, there's no way that I, as a sinner, on my own can come to God. God must make an intervention in my life by the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit, or I can never come to God. God puts a compelling in your heart to get saved by God's grace. That's what I believe. I believe God does that. But wait a minute now. When I get saved by God's grace, God is not looking at me and saying, Larry, if you don't draw nigh to me, I'm going to break both your arms and your legs and put you in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. God's not doing that. He has given me the prerogative. Do I want to draw near to Him, or do I not want to draw near to Him? See, it's my prerogative. It's my choice whether I want to draw or not. Amen. Y'all okay now? I'm not fussing at nobody. I'm not getting on to nobody. So at least stay with me now and don't cut me off. So I want you to look in James 4, verse 6. Will y'all look at this now? I want you to see something here in James 4, 6. The very first five words in verse number 6, what did it say? But He giveth more. All right? So is He not fixing to talk here about drawing out of God? Huh? He's fixing to give us some instruction about drawing out of God. And the first thing God wants me to know is, if you want to draw nigh, I have already provided the grace of God for you to do it. Amen. See, if I want to, God will He's already provided the grace for me to draw closer to Him than what I am. Amen. So notice God's provision here. But now look in verse number 5-6 again. Now I'll show you a couple things just briefly. We'll move on. So in verse number 6 here, it began to show me some powers that oppose me of drawing near to God. If I want to draw near to God, come here now. I'm sure that everyone of y'all has lived for God a length of time. You've had a time in which you made an effort to draw near to God. Amen? So was it easy? I mean, was it just like, sliding down the hill on a sheet of oil? I don't think so. I mean, there's problems when you go to drawing nigh to God. Would anybody agree with that? Yeah. Now look what opposes you in verse number 6. He said, but He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. Well, now, where is this pride thing? Is this pride thing, is it some kind of a subterranean element here that walks along beside me, or is it something in me? It's something in me. So, I got something in me that don't want to cooperate with me drawing near to God. Somebody say amen. There's something inside me that does not want to cooperate with drawing near. It's called self. See, myself is a whole lot more wicked than I want to own up to in front of you. So here's what he's saying. The first thing that's going to oppose me of drawing near to God is me. I am my worst. I'm one of my worst enemies anyway. And God wants me to get close to Him, and myself says, you know, Larry, you ought to do that some of these days. But myself keeps troubling me. My body and my mind, my will, it keeps bothering me, keeps hindering me from drawing near. Now look at verse number 7, will you? And here is the epitome of the Baptist problem. Hello, amen. Look what it said. Yes, it said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. See, now I got another problem. I don't like to submit. I've got a will of my own, and I don't want nobody really telling me what to do. Look, I'm a grown man. Surely I'd find my way through the dark. No, you can't, see? And he's telling us here that if you want to draw nigh to God, you got self as a problem, and bringing myself in submission is another problem. Hello, now. Is that a fact or not? Come on now, help me now. Is that not true? Do you, come here, ladies. And you men that are men. Well, you ladies, do you find it easy when the preacher's preaching about submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord? Do you find that, oh, that's such a sweet message? Do you find that to be so? Come on now, ladies. You find in your own heart, you find that it is something kind of repulsive. It's not something you want to do. You know, you don't want to have to submit to that guy that makes you mad all the time. Amen. So submission is something that God says, if you want to get close to me, you're going to have to deal with the submission, but I don't want to deal with the submission. Is that true, Vaults? All right, so look at verse number 7. Then he said, submit yourselves therefore to God and resist the devil. So is Satan going to come in the scene here? And see, God says, Larry, I really want you to draw near to me. I want you to come close to me as you can, Larry. But there's somebody called Satan that doesn't want me to do that. Satan is not an imaginary figure. Y'all know that, don't you? Satan is not maybe just some character in the Bible that you know that really is not real. He is a real person with real devils and real demons and real fallen angels that works against everything you try to do in a child of God. Amen. So when I get ready to try to go to God and get close to Him, Larry, you don't have to do that today. You got too many things to do today. Now, Larry, don't worry about that today. Let's do that later. Or you can't do that. God's asking you something that is far beyond your power to do. So Satan will work himself to death trying to keep me from getting close to God. Now, look in verse number 8. Here's another thing that hinders me from getting close to God. Verse number 8 said, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Here's something else that's going to hinder me from getting close to God, and that's my sin. Look at it now. Did you ever wonder why He said, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts? Now, just think about that a moment. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinner. Now, He's not talking about lost people. He's talking about saved people. And He says, cleanse your hands. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me do it this way. All right? Do I have anything in my hand? How do you know I got something in my hand? You can see it. All right? So there's something here you can see, right? So when He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, He's talking about outward sins that others can see in our life. Amen. Then notice what else He said. He not only said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, but He said, purify your heart. All right? So can you see my heart? No. So He's talking about sins that can be seen and sins that cannot be seen. Whoa. Come here, Lord. Help me a minute now. All right, let's see. Tim, can I use you? That's you getting offended. Say yes. Okay, good. All right, so I noticed Tim is real talkative. Y'all be my notice that? Yeah, I meant that facetiously. I don't hear him saying much. If he says much, he says it away from me. All right, so you're, and I'm perceiving Tim as not a real talkative guy. Right? Right? So one day Tim, just off the cuff, he says, well, if I didn't have no more to do than what you do, he said, I'd do more duck hunting than what I do. Well, he said that to me, and he don't even know what I do. He don't know the hours I spend in prayer. He don't know the hours I'm studying that Bible. But that hurt my feelings. I mean, that just hurt me bad. I bet there's nobody here ever had anybody hurt you, right? Come on now. Help me out. We are a generation of angels, fallen. Amen. So here he is now. God says, Larry, I want you to draw near to me. Yes, dear God, I want to draw near to you. And so I'm starting praying and thinking about God and getting close. And as I'm praying, I remember Tim soaping his mouth and hurt me bad. And I've actually got a little resentment now in my heart for Tim for what he did. There's resentment that's festered up in my heart, but you don't see it, Elizabeth. You can't see this festering feeling I've got in my heart because of what he said. So what I have now, I don't have anything in the hand you can see. I'm not brutal. I'm not mean. I'm not nasty. I'm not stealing. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not embezzling the church. So there ain't nothing here you can see. But I got this little thing in my heart that I can't deal with. I mean, it's festered, and it's made me feel terrible about that man. See, that's why he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Give that stuff folk can see out of your life, and give that stuff they cannot see out of your life if you want to draw near to me. Amen. I didn't hurt his feelings. You heard him say amen. Amen. All right, so now let me show you one other thing right quickly, and I'll move on. I got a lot of territory to go tonight, and I want you to look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. I want you to see the last part of this verse and see if it applies to me and you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That is a comma that he adds this little statement. You double-minded. Are y'all listening to me now? So if you got any love for Jesus in your heart at all, if you've got any love in your heart for him at all, you know he tells you every now and then, you need to get a little closer to me. So here I am now. I know I need to get a little closer to God. Oh, yes, dear Lord. I'll do it tomorrow. Come on now. I start to get close, but I change my mind. I say, nope, I'll do it tomorrow. Now, wait a minute now. You know, I know I need to get right with God. I know not get real close to the Lord, but I will wait till next revival to do it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are we not masters at putting off what we ought to do? Huh? Are we not just real masters at just stalling on it, putting it off, knowing we ought to be doing it, but we keep putting it off all the time? That's how we are, see? Myself and my decision making is part of my problem drawing nigh to God. Okay? So if I draw near, I've got to deal with all these issues here. Right? Yes, Larry, amen. So you're okay. Somebody grunt. Amen. So let's go back to Leviticus. Now, with that in mind, I want to try to illustrate from Leviticus 1 about drawing nigh to God. Now, let's look what it says here and see if we can draw a lesson out of it. All right, Leviticus 1, and go, if you would, to verse number 1. All right, Leviticus 1:1, and here's what I want you to see. Now, let me ask you a question for a week. Is God a merciful God or not? Yes. And can I say this? Is God a faithful God? Yes. And he's merciful. Amen. Now look verse number 1. Now, if you've read through the Old Testament, at least part of it, you know how Israel is just like us, up and down, sideways, and in between. Amen. But look verse number 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, if, just in case somebody wants to, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall thus and so. Here's what I want you to say. I say in verse number 1 and 2, the absolute mercy of God to a neighbor to say to Moses, I want to make a way here for somebody to draw near to me. Amen. Now watch what he said. Here's what I say here. Number 1, I see the mercy of God by number 1, God initiating this thought of drawing near. Can I say this? You did not initiate it. I did not initiate it. God initiated the idea of drawing near to him. See, when you get saved by God's grace and the Holy Ghost come to live inside you, that Holy Spirit will tell you, draw near. It's not you that originated the idea. It's God that originates the idea to draw near to me. See, it's God that begins the process of wanting me to draw near to him. But it's not a demand. He's not demanding it. Now look again, if you would, verse number 2. And so he initiates the idea. And then, in verse number 2, in Hebrew, he gives an invitation. He said, speak unto the children of Israel. And he said, if any man will bring an offering. So here's what God is doing. Here's how I see it. God is initiating this process, and he's simply giving me an invitation. Larry, would you like to come? I'm not talking about salvation. We're not talking about for being born again. Larry, would you like to come and find out what I'm like a little closer? Would you like to get a little closer to me and find out more about me? He has given me an invitation to do it. Now, wonder why he does that. Well, in verse number 2, he said, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. Now, I'm going to make this statement. If you go back, from the book of Genesis, from Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, now listen to me, you look in that chapter, here is a characteristic you'll find out about God. And that's this, God desires to be with his people. How do I know that? Well, did he not come down in the cool of the day to meet with Adam and Eve? See, from the very garden, God is saying here to his people, I want to draw close to you, I want to be with you, I want to dwell with you. Amen. Now, when you go back and look at Israel in their encampment, when they came out, come here now, when they came out of Israel, God wanted that tabernacle to sit right in the middle of that camp, and he gave orders how the children of Israel were to encamp round about it. Why? He wanted to be right in the middle of his people. See, but when they sent him that golden calf, he said, all right, I'm going to move out here. Now, I made it easier for you to get to me while I was in the camp. I made it easier for you to draw near to me while I'm in the camp. But now then, with all that sin and garbage, if you want to draw to me, I'm going to be out here on the outside of the camp. Now then, you've got to make an effort to get out here to me. Is anybody grabbing any of this? See, when God saved me by God's grace, he drew me under that. He drew me to save my soul. But if I want to get closer to him, I'm the one that's got to make the effort to draw near to him. God's not doing it. God said, Larry, if you want to, I'm here. Larry, I'm making myself available to you. I'm not making you. I'm not compelling you. I'm not driving you. I'm simply letting you know, if you'd like to come near me, I'm making myself available. Are y'all listening to me tonight? You know what I really think? I really think God's Christians, I think it's like this. You know them? You remember the, I don't buy lottery tickets, but don't they have lottery tickets you scratch off? Huh? Okay. So, here's what Christianity, some of it's like. It's like a lottery ticket, and we scratched it off, and we know we got it, and that's about as far as we want to go with it. Really, is that not true? Look here. Am I not really preaching where folks live today? Right? But see, the Lord says, And what I was going to say is this. I think about the normal Christian in this hour, that all they know about God is, scratch, I got it. That's about it. That's right. But see, there is so much more. I mean, there is so much more. Wow. And so the Lord says, I'm interested in you coming near me. Now, I want you to look in verses number 2 and 3 for just a bit. Let me see how much time I got, okay? I got about an hour left. Hang with me. I'm not going to preach an hour. But I got a lot to give you now. All right, look at verse 7, 1 and 2. And I'm going to say this again. If you're saved, God is not compelling you to come near. He's not even demanding you come near. He is not requiring you to come near. He is not doing that. He's not compelling. He's not demanding. He's not requiring. He says, you interested? Would you like to come find out more about me? Would you, as a matter of fact, whoa. Yeah, well, let's see if this fits. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Is that right? Let's see. Lord, I ain't never brought this out before, not less. But he said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's salvation, right? Right? Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. See, that is that drawing near. That is expanding our knowledge and our fellowship with him is what it's all about. It's getting close to him to find out what he's really like. Amen. Oh, buddy. Praise God. All right. So notice, if you would, in verses number 1 and 2 here. Now, let's note, I'm sorry, 2 and 3. Let's notice this. Here come this man. And he's got this offering. It's either a goat or a lamb or it's a bullock or it's a dove or a pigeon, and he's coming to the altar to make an approach to God. And I said, sir, why are you doing that? You're not required to do that. Why are you doing that? What is your motive of bringing that offering to God? You're not required to. What's your motive of doing it? Here's what I see. Number one, it would be his motive. His motive would be, verse number 1, he's bringing an offering. Is that right? Right? So now look here. The word offering in itself, the word offering means this. It means to be brought near to the altar to make a sacrificial present. He's bringing his offering, and the very fact he's bringing it is showing that he's wanting to get near where God is. When it's saying, he has got this awful big affection in his heart for God. He's got this affection for him, this attraction to God, an affection, and he just wants to get closer and closer to God. Let's say this. And when you were dating or whatever you did to get your spouse, whatever you did, if you were really genuine and you loved them, here's what you want to do. I mean, I remember I felt this way about Carolyn when I was seeing her and we were getting ready to marry. It was like, now I know it's going to sound ugly and awful, but it ain't meant to be ugly and awful. But it's like, oh, now I don't want to use that one, Lord. It's like a fish in the body of water that has found a worm that's just a little bigger than he can handle. So it bites down on it, and he can't get it down the first bite, but he is so infatuated with it, he keeps working, he wants to devour the whole thing. You say, what in the world? When I fell in love with Carolyn, it's like I took the first bite of love. Now, I mean, I'm not that ugly stuff, but it's like I took the first bite of love here, and I wanted to devour her with my love. Did that make sense to y'all? I don't believe it does. But I mean, that's how it was like. And so here come this man with this bullock or lamb or goat or a turtle dove or pigeon. And he's coming. And here's what it is. He has fallen in love with God. This God that brought them out of Egypt. This God that delivered them from Egyptian slavery. This God that gave them all kind of treasure from the spoils of Egypt. And he says, wow, I want to know more. I want to know more. I want to get closer. I want to know more about this God that's done all this for me. See? And that's what he's saying. He has fallen in love with this God so much, he wants to know more about him. And he's just attracted to him. And notice, if you would please, notice again verse number 3. Are you looking at it? Notice the word voluntarily. It's got several different ideas, but here's what I want to give you. The word voluntary means to delight or to be accepted. Now, see, the sin issue is already taken care of in Leviticus 16. He's bringing this offering because he wants to do what I preached to y'all yesterday. He wants to be accepted. He wants what he's doing to be accepted of the Lord. Y'all listen to me now. Is there anything in your heart that would like for the Lord to say, oh, that's precious. That's good. Well, see, that's what this guy wanted. This guy wanted, he wants to bring his offering to God and get close to the Lord because he wants God to not to accept him in salvation. He's already got that. But he's wanting God to accept what he's doing. And he's wanting God's approval and, in a sense, God's praise of what he's doing. Do you not ever have anything like that come across your heart? I mean, I want him to be pleased, don't you? Yes. Hey, I preached message before, preacher. I preached something, and done my ranting and raving and all this stuff, one way and go home and wonder, dear God, did you really approve of all that? Y'all ain't never done that, have you? I have. And I went home before and I just felt like, man, I must have done that in the flesh. But I have done it, buddy. I have done it. Whether people accept or not, I preached the message God gave me and gone home and lay down and have that sweet voice in my heart. Let me know, Larry, whether they accept it or not, you did what I told you to do. I'm pleased with you. And wrap his precious Holy Ghost arms around me and kiss me to sleep that night. Amen to God. Praise God. It's good to want to be accepted him. So he's wanting God to accept him here. All right, now let me move on quickly now. Let me move on. So I want you to see some things that has to be done if this man draws near to God. Something has to be done. All right, look at verse number 3. Go back to verse number 3. His attitude has got to be right. What's his attitude? His attitude is voluntary, right? Can I say this? And I'm telling you, I don't mean to sound wrong in any way when I'm preaching, but when I first started preaching and first started pastoring years ago, son, it was blood and guts and flesh in the cracks on the wall. It was bad. But back then it was acceptable. I mean, honest. And I'd preach hard and the altars would fill up. Honestly. I mean, the altars would just fill up. And I'd say, praise God, this is good. But you know why the altars filled up? You know why? It's because I had put them on such a guilt trip. They came to the altar out of guilt. And when they got up and went away, they were no better than what they were. You know why? Because I put the pressure on them to do it. And they responded outwardly, but their heart was not in it yet. Amen. And so, as a result, they went away just like they came. See, but God's not saying it here. He is saying, if you want to draw down to me, your attitude has got to be voluntary. In other words, it's got to be something you want to do. I mean, you got to want to do it. Now, can I say this? If you don't want to do it, you will never do it. Yeah, I mean, if there's not something in your heart, neighbor, I mean, that wants to do it, you will never draw near to him. So, number one, here is an absolute necessity, and that is you must want to do it. Now, look in verse number two. Now, let me try to make this clear if you can. Hang with me. Look at verse number two. It is said, you shall bring your offering of the what? Verse two, and ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. Okay, now drop down to verse number 14, and it said, if the burnt sacrifice of his offering to the Lord be of fowls. All right, so here's what I want you to get. So God says, if you want to draw near to me in this Old Testament illustration, if you want to draw near to me, here's the requirement. It's either got to be a bullock, it's got to be a sheep, it's got to be a goat, it's got to be a turtle dove, or it's got to be a pigeon. Is that right or wrong? Y'all, you got to do is go back and look. And so here's what God is saying. Here's what God is saying. If a man wants to draw near to me, he will pay the price he is capable of paying to do it. What does that mean? If I have a bullock and I would draw near to God, I bring a bullock. If I don't have a bullock, but I've got a sheep or a goat, I bring a sheep or a goat. If I don't have a sheep or a goat or a bullock, God says you can bring a pigeon or a turtle up. But what if I don't have a pigeon or turtle dove? A pigeon or turtle dove was no problem to trap one and still bring it to God. See, God is saying this. No matter who you are, no matter what your capabilities are, no matter what your abilities are, God said, if you want to come, I've made a way for you to come just like you are. Hallelujah. Praise God. God did not put such a restriction on us that we could not come. And by the way, can I say this? If a man did not have a goat or a sheep or a bullock, he could bring a pigeon. But if a man had a bullock and showed up with a pigeon, God would know he's a hypocrite. And you're not going to draw near to God like that. See, God knows your heart. He knows the sacrifice you're able to make. Amen. All right, now, wait a minute. Let's kind of lay this thing out here. Anybody here diabetic? Do you take shots? All right. So, what's your first name, sister? Tina. Tina. All right, so Miss Tina is a diabetic. Now then, she wants to draw near to God. She wants to bring her flesh in subjection. And she wants to bring her life closer to God. But she is a diabetic. Are you with me? Does anybody know what happens to a diabetic when they don't take care of their health? Huh? So there's some prices she could not pay. But now, Elizabeth, you're not diabetic, are you? All right, so the price that Tina cannot pay, Elizabeth may be able to pay. So if Elizabeth refuses to pay it, she's not going to draw near to God. Yeah, and if Tina says, I can't pay that, because she's physically disabled to pay it, then God allows her to make other concessions in order to draw near to God. Here's the whole deal. The whole deal is, do I want to draw near to God, or am I satisfied where I am? That's the whole issue here. Now then, let me move on quickly. So God makes it so we can, and notice something else. He wants it spotless, but look in verse number 3. Let me give you this, and I'm about done. Honestly, I'm about done. Look at verse number 3. Where is he to bring this offering? Verse 3. He is offering to be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, being offered male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Where? At the door of the tabernacle. You're talking about typical. He's coming to get near to God. He's coming to the door. Are you listening? He's coming to the door. You can't draw near to God without going through the door. You can't get close to God without going through the door. You cannot get close to God without going through Jesus' door. I'm the door, hallelujah, God. And you're not going to get near to Him unless you come through the Lord. And I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about through the Lord, intercession, intermediation for us. We're coming to God to get closer through our Savior. Amen. That's right, amen. Got to come through the door. Hallelujah. Through the door, through the door, through the door. And so on and so forth now. He's got to put his hand on it. He's acknowledging, I'm the guilty guy. Matter of fact, if you read this closely, the man that brought the offering is the one that has to kill it. You know what he's doing, Sister Libby? He's acknowledging his part in killing the substitute. When I come to Jesus to get closer to Him, I cannot come with a proud, arrogant spirit. I've got to come acknowledging my part in putting Him to death at Calvary. Amen. Bless His name. All right. Now, I could give you some more on that, but I'm going to give you this and I'm done. Now then, this is what the Bible said. Draw nigh to God and what? Come on now. Draw nigh to God and what? He'll draw nigh to you. All right. Now, preacher, I want you to help me. You stand right over here. All right. So, we'll let the preacher play kind of the part of God tonight. Will that be all right? Now, I'm sure that won't go his head. I guarantee you it won't go his head. All right, now wait a minute. Look what the Bible said. See, it's all voluntary now. So, see, here the Father is, and the Father's saying, Larry, I'm available if you want to come near me. If you want to find out more about me, find out a little more about how much I love you, find out a little more about my care and my direction for your life, I'm available if you'd like to. So, He says, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. Is that right? Or so now then, I say in my heart, Larry, you know He's been so good to you. He's watched over you. He's saved you, forgiven you, given you a place in heaven. He has done so many wonderful things to you. Why don't you draw nigh to Him? I think I'm going to draw nigh to Him. I draw nigh to Him. And that Bible said, and He will draw nigh to you. You take a step. Take a step, preacher. He takes a step. You want to get closer? Yes, Lord, I want to get closer. You take a step. And God takes a step. See, this business of drawing near to God, it's not a one trip to the altar deal. See? And in reality, here's what God is saying. He is saying, if you draw near to me, I've got some things I will give you. I've got something I'd like to share with you if you draw near to me. Lord, I want to get closer. And I take a step to Him. And God takes a step to me. And I might even have a season where my desire wanes. Maybe I take a baby step. You're supposed to take a baby step. And I say, Lord, I want to go all the way. I want to be as close to You as I can get. And when I get there, He gives me something special. He gives me Himself. Has anybody, now don't raise no hands, but has anybody in this house ever worshiped God in the Holy Ghost? I mean, has God ever come down on you and you had worship of God and the Spirit of God made God so real to you, you were just enraptured with His presence? You know what God did? He gave Himself to you. Now, thank you, preacher. Let me borrow your Bible. I want you to look at verse 9. You know these by heart, so I'll just go ahead. I want you to look at verse 9. Come on now, I want you to look at verse 9. So verse 9, he's offering the bullock, right? Right? And he says, and the priest shall burn all upon the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a, say it, sweet savor unto the Lord. All right, look at verse 13. This is the sheep or the goat offering, and he says, and the priest shall burn it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a what? Sweet savor unto the Lord. Look at 17. And he's bringing the fowl here, and when he brings the fowl and the process is done, he said, it's a burnt sacrifice of an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Are y'all listening to me? Come on now. I'll be done in a minute. Just give me a second here. When Jesus died at Calvary, here's what God said. When Christ died, and he said, it is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He bowed his head and he died. He gave up the ghost. Ephesians said, to God, it was a sweet smelling savor. See? Well, I only impress you. I read this just the other day. Your nose has over 400 different receptors that detect odor. And I was stunned when I read this the other day because it was updated information. And they said that your nose has the ability to detect 4 trillion different odors. I was stunned. And I read that on a science report. Now, you get this now. You get this. Here God is in heaven, and I say this for our understanding, with perfect nostrils, if there is such a thing, can detect every odor from every continent there is to detect. And when Christ died in Calvary, God said, that's my smell. That's mine. That's the one I'm pleased with. And when Christ died, to God, it was the sweetest smelling thing God ever smelt in his eternal existence. Are you listening? And when I say in my heart, Lord, I want to draw near. I'm drawing near to you through Jesus. Because of what Jesus did, you've given me the privilege to get closer to you and closer to you. Do you know what God is smelling? Every step you take to get closer to God, it is a sweet smelling savor to God. God smells again what he smelled at Calvary. Praise God, man. He smells anew what he smelled at Calvary. Yet so please him when Christ died. And when I take his death and I approach to God, want to get closer to God, God is saying, I've smelt that before. Hallelujah. I've smelt that before. And you know, we poor old humans, we struggle and fight against drawing near to God because we don't want to pay any extra prices than we've already paid. But I'm telling you, buddy, when you sense his sweet presence saying to you, well done, come a little closer. Come a little closer. Let me enrapture you with my presence. Can I tell you this? What are you battling? What are you going through? Come here now. What is the heartache that you're facing now. Man, listen. When I don't care what I'm going through. I mean, I do, but here's what I'm trying to say. When I somehow am able to draw near to God and His divine presence is overwhelming me, every burden I got, every problem I got, every heartache, every difficulty seems like a flea that's flipped away with a finger. Amen. Is that okay with y'all? I'm telling you, to me, it is elating at the possibility of me drawing close to Him. He wraps His spiritual arms around me and envelops me inside my soul and fills me with His holy presence. And boy, I'm telling you, God smells Jesus' sacrifice all over again. Hallelujah. Praise His name. I want to draw close to Him. Amen. I want to get close to Him. I want to be near Him. And you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to be a Christian, and I don't want to be a part of a church that scratches off the gift card and says that's enough. I don't want that myself. I don't know what you want, but that ain't what I want. Look here. Does anybody here would agree with this statement? That you know in your heart there's a level of Christianity that's there that you're not experiencing. Would anybody agree with that? But you know a sad thing? God's made a way for us to experience the whole wagon load. But my problem is, I'm double-minded. I want to, then I don't. Want to, then I don't. God wants me to get so close to Him. By the way, He breathes His secrets to people. Y'all know that, don't you? People get close to Him, He breathes things into their souls that He don't breathe to nobody else because they want to get close to Him.